All right, this is WillCountyBaseball.org, and I'm talking with two principal owners.
I'm the owner. He's the GM.
Okay, and what's your name?
Josh Schaub.
Josh Schaub. You're the owner?
Yep.
And what's your name?
Evan Grisandi.
And you're the GM.
That's correct.
Okay, great. Now, I'm really curious. I've been out a couple times, but I wanted to come out and try to find out how you guys try to make a dime out here. With quality baseball, these kids are really serious. It's a wood bat league, mm-hmm. So this isn't just for fun anymore at all, by any means.
No, it's actually a really good business model. So the players are here, obviously, to develop their game for professional baseball and even their college season. So they get a wood bat in their hand. They are out playing every day, similar to minor league baseball, traveling similar to minor league baseball. This league stretches all the way from Hannibal, Missouri, out to Pennsylvania and West Virginia.
Wow,
so they're
like
traveling
the Big Ten.
Quite a bit. Yeah, exactly. It's Big
12,
Ten country. Big Ten country. On the flip side, on the business side, it's a great model as well because we mimic minor league baseball with a lot less cost structure. So we sell tickets, we sell concessions, merchandise, and sponsorship just like minor league baseball does. Along the way, after all the expenses, you hope to pick up a few bucks, but mostly this is fun for everyone.
Okay, so you're a baseball lifer.
Yeah, well, at least the last 12 years.
Okay, so, and how long did you play?
Not very long at all because I couldn't hit a curveball. But
well, same here. That's why I'm doing this. I would have been doing this for a long time anyway. But
my history is I graduated from the University of Wisconsin Lacrosse, and I started scouting for the Brewers right away.
Oh, really?
So I went in the front office. I was doing some analytics work, and then I started going on the road with Harvey Keene Jr.
Oh, nice.
Harvey's been with the Brewers for 28 years now, and he and I traveled, and then I went off to law school, and he hired me as his part-time scout.
Okay,
and basically,
great.
I had Minnesota and Wisconsin working with him, so I spent many, many hours sitting in the Metrodome during law school scouting games. I then law clerked for the Northern League, which is what the Joliet Slammers and Joliet Jackhammers prior to them used to be in. I was in the Northern League clerking for them, and then went and worked for the Edmonton Crackercats as director of player procurement and consulting on business. Following that, left law school, started a law firm, started representing buyers and sellers of teams. 2012, buyer came to me and said, I want to buy the Joliet Slammers. Are you familiar? I said, very familiar. I've scouted there. He backed out of the deal. I found two partners. We went and bought it. That was in 2012. I sold in August of last year and decided we want to come up the road and start this. And
wow.
Then I met Evan and hired him, and we're off to the races.
So you're like a Will County Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far.
All right, but... Okay, so you got a minor league business model. I'm always curious. What really brings them out? What's the one thing that is just killer?
The fans,
it's automatic. You're gonna bring out your best crowd.
I think we try to put like Josh said, we try to put on as many promotions as we can. We want to have the on-field entertainment be fun because that's what baseball is. It's more than a game. It's an experience and it's an event. And we're trying to create these memories. And if two kids get to go out on the field and run in a dizzy bat race, they're going to love that and they're going to want to come back.
Yeah, they don't know if it's regular field or
right, exactly. That's the thing. They don't know if they're watching the Cubs or, so these kids are all great. And like we said, sometimes we have drones flying around. We have bounce houses from time to time. Yeah. So, it's a lot of fun things that we have. So, like I said, we try to make it more of an event than just a baseball game.
Okay.
We know a lot of the kids, which are the main demographic around here, because those are the ones that drives the money in these households.
Well, there's about a million kids.
Exactly right. And we have to keep them entertained, and we need to make sure that they have a good time. Otherwise, they're not going to come back.
Okay.
I would add to that, too. I think there's appeal at this level of play, because these guys are still building their dreams, and there's a lot of former big leaguers that have come through this league. Mike Schmidt, Jonathan Papelbon. I think there's 93 players that played in this league.
Holy cow.
So,
the Prospect League.
Yeah, it's very, very good league. It used to be the CICL, then morphed into the Prospect League. So it's a high quality of baseball, but these stories of these players are compelling too because they play at big universities. We have Alabama, Missouri State.
Nova Southeastern.
Yeah, I mean, they're from all over the country. So it's a cool story when you show up as a fan and say, this might be a big leaguer someday.
Holy
That's really
cow.
Cool.
Yeah. I guess you don't realize, how layered these amateur levels are. I was out at the Joliet Dirtbags game a couple weeks ago. And I just did a story on them. And that was fun. I mean, what I find everywhere I go is baseball lifers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a couple of years ago, people for a long time have been saying baseball is a dying sport. And I'll never believe that after this summer and spring. After being around this for a while, it's definitely not.
Yeah, I would, with that, there all these different layers. The Prospect League, there's 50 summer collegiate leagues in the country. 50.
Wow.
So much, very similar to Prospect League, but Prospect League is ranked fourth out of 50 in terms of talent. So it goes Cape Cod, Northwoods League, Coastal Plains League, Prospect League. That's how Baseball America ranks it right now. I assume that's going to be switching here pretty soon, though, because we had a pretty good draft. So.
Okay, and one thing that got me started with this, with WillCountyBaseball.org, is the quality of coaching and talent. Mm-hmm. In, I know it's specifically Will County, but I mean all over DuPage, sure, and all over the area. This region is just produces an incredible amount of talent, mm-hmm, and the coaching I find is just so deep. It's really remarkable. Do you get a lot of guys from around the area?
Yeah, how many do we have?
I want to say it's like six or seven.
I was going to say
six or seven.
And a roster of what?
28.
Yep. Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, a couple from U of I, Northwestern.
And you get SEC guys? You said Alabama.
Yeah, we had Alabama.
SEC kid, yep. And then,
holy cow.
Yeah, like I said, Nova Southeastern, they won the Division II National Championship this year. Yep. We had two of them.
Missouri State might have the best rotation in the country next year. We've got a bunch of their guys, too.
Right, so
Eastern
fantastic.
Michigan, all over the place. And they're not, a lot of people ask, like, hey, is this D3? And I'm like, no, it's not.
It's a lot better.
It's like pretty much almost all D1 players, and then a couple some of the best D2 players sprinkled in here.
Yeah. And D3 is nothing to. You know, there's plenty of players
play
out there.
If I could.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, this is a very high quality of baseball. I mean, you'll see these guys are not booting the ball around. It's not a.
No, I noticed that right away.
They're hitting home runs, they're turning double plays. These guys, a lot of these guys were drafted out of high school and chose to go to college. So
Right.
That's they could be in the minor leagues right now for some of these guys. So.
Okay, and so what's the killer? Come on, what brings them in? What's the night you know is going to bring?
it's a combination of all the things we talk about. We have fireworks, we have drone races, we have promotional nights, we have discount nights, obviously, for fans that are looking for affordable entertainment. We have free parking. It's accessible. The concessions prices you'll see are very low. At the end of the day, the baseball is still very much quality, though. And I think
that is the
lion's show of the circus when it's all said and done. So
that's good to hear. And so now how are you guys doing?
Well, we're in one game.
We're good.
First place.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, we're good.
Yeah.
We're making that push for the playoffs. We have six games in our last 5 days here.
Yep.
So it's a tough stretch pushing to the playoffs, but yeah, we're one game out and we're right there in it. We just need to win out and have
control your own destiny.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we dropped two to Springfield last time, which really hurt. Two tough games, tough games. Or as Joe was saying, the tension was palpable in Springfield, and their fans knew the situation. We knew the situation. We ball didn't bounce our way a couple games, so. We are looking very much forward to making the playoffs, and we believe we can do it based on the schedule we have remaining.
And about a week left, right?
Yeah.
Yep, week left.
Saturday's
our last scheduled regular season home game, and then the playoffs would be the week after that, ending the 14th.
Yeah, it starts on latest. Sunday, actually.
Yep.
Playoffs start Sunday.
How's your health? How's the pitcher's health?
Oh, we're stacked.
Good. Yeah. Good. Pitching is stacked.
We just got the update from Joe. We are stacked with pitching, and everyone else
moves at the trade deadline.
No. You know, it's interesting. I think he just managed the staff really well, kept innings down. We had some guys that didn't throw a ton of innings this spring. And ironically, we lost three players to the draft prior to the season. So guys, we had.
And where do they go when they leave here? I mean, do they go right away? Is it like overnight?
Yeah, I mean they're.
So they're off to rookie league.
Yeah, they go. So we lost, but he replaced those with three guys that didn't get a lot of innings this year that have been great.
That's good.
Performed very well.
That's
good. So, our pitching staff is dominant. I mean, every night we pretty much mow people down. Yep. If you look at the stats online, our team ERA is like nothing.
That's great.
Should be the MVP of the league. Aaron Meyer is leading the league. Brian, do you know how many points he's leading the league by in hitting? 30?
Almost
40 points.
Oh my goodness.
He's hitting 425.
He just went 15 for 20 with two bombs. Just crazy.
Like six or seven,
so no cheating those numbers.
He makes it look way too easy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So you got a playoff push coming along. Any guys out here stand out besides
Meyer? Well, and then we have three All-Stars, so we had
Austin Knight, one of those pitchers from Missouri State that he's a stud.
Left hander up to 94,
gives us a great chance to win.
Yeah.
I know what I was going to ask you. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. No worries.
The wood bats versus BB Core.
Yep.
Now, what I've been watching is these new aluminum bats or whatever BB Core bats are just dead.
Yeah.
I mean, I see kids. Stroke a ball square and it's going nowhere.
Yeah.
So what do kids think when they hit with wood all the time?
Well, I think they probably think it's a lot more natural. And I think, you know, a lot of these guys play travel ball young and was hitting with wood.
Okay.
I think
okay, pardon me for not knowing, but so when they're younger, they use wood a lot?
They start to, yeah. And a lot of guys practice with wood
all
year because then you get in the game, it feels like you're cheating to use metal. I think, too, wood feels a lot more natural to a hitter because there's a little more flex in the bat than the BB core. But allegedly, BB core and wood is supposed to perform very similar.
I know. So. The physics, I mean, they break it down. But now, in college ball, they said that... the numbers were down.
Oh, way down.
So far.
Way down.
That they flattened the seams on the ball to try and, now to me, it's like, okay, at what point are you going to stop messing with the game?
The game, you know?
Right.
So. I was scouting when they made the change. I was scouting a lot. And I can tell you the games become way more enjoyable when they went to BB Core bats. Because
I agree with that.
22-14 and 15-10. And
I mean, that sound. I mean, these kids are big, you know, and they're hitting.
It's like trampoline.
They're
bats.
Hitting 95 mile an hour back at the pitcher. You got no chance
with
those aluminum bats. So that was scary stuff.
Yeah, when I was hitting home runs in high school, it was like the golden age of bats. I was so lucky because they were like literally like trampolines.
Yeah, I remember they were like Fat Albert bats.
Yeah.
So where'd you go to high school?
Lakeland, which is Monaco, Wisconsin.
Okay.
North Central Wisconsin. Okay. Small little tourist town.
I went to Marquette, Madison, and I finished at Whitewater.
Oh, there you go.
It took me a while.
Yeah.
So where are you from?
I also grew up in Wisconsin, a small town called Hubertus, about 30 minutes northwest of Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I went to University of Minnesota, Twin Cities, and majored in sports management.
Great. So you guys now are lifers in a different way. So right in college, you decided this is what I want to do.
Yeah, I had a number of great internships. One was with Gopher Sports Marketing, just working in the promotions side of it, you know, doing the t-shirt tosses and the on-field stuff, you know, and I loved that right off the bat. And that's what I knew I wanted to end up doing. So I ended up working for the Gopher baseball team. Got to work with Paul Molitor a lot during that, so that was pretty
nice.
And then also worked for the St. Paul Saints, who are an independent league baseball team up out of St. Paul, Minnesota.
The most successful in the country.
Oh, they're huge. Yeah.
Maybe one of the most successful minor league teams in the country, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Affiliated or independent.
Yeah, so they're fantastic.
It was Mike Vec involved.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
And who owns it now? What's his name?
Bill Murray.
Yeah, Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, Mike Vec, and another guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Legendary.
Yeah, and then I finished out my internship with the Minnesota Twins for a season as well. So, and it was all what I wanted to do. I wanted to end up in baseball. A lot of sports people don't say that because there's so many games, but baseball is where I want to be. Yeah. So
that's great. That's good to hear.
I don't think I ever thought I'd be a baseball lifer. Obviously, starting off with the Brewers really ticked it off, and I fell into that. But I always knew I wanted to be in sports, and then I went out to law school, and as a sports law professor. I love sports business.
You were a sports law professor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hamlin Law School. So I love sports business. I'm the commissioner of a professional soccer league too.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, to me, I own a hockey league, so it's all one and the same. Like, baseball is great because I love the game of baseball, but when it comes to sponsorships, tickets, concessions, that stuff is all very similar business, no matter what sport you go across the spectrum. I like baseball because I love the game itself, and I love the pace. I love it summertime when we're outside.
Yeah, I agree.
I never thought I would be a baseball lifer per se, but it's kind of how it ended up.
I love the fact that it's timed and outs. There's no clock on. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Technically, we could be here forever.
That's okay. Like the last bastion where you can like put away your cell phone and talk to your family. Hopefully, you know. And there is no time limit. There's no time you have to leave, and there's no buzzers going off. And you can just sit and enjoy the game. Mm-hmm. So actually, I was down in Joliet today for that 11 o'clock game, and how many people were there, just hanging out, like.
Do you always? What I love is that when you start talking to the people in the crowd, you will find somebody. Who either knows the game you'll teach you something, or you know, like an old timer, or just somebody.
That's my favorite. You think you know the game, and then you talk to somebody like you know, and there's just so many little nuances that you learn. You're always learning about this game.
In scouting, it's amazing. Yeah. Like you sit with a guy like Terry Ryan, who when he's taking a sabbatical in Minneapolis. I got to hang out with him a lot. Man, you have no idea. There's so many layers. Of the
no, I don't.
And it was amazing to me when I was talking to him recently. He was talking about free agents and pitchers he signed and whatnot. How much emphasis he put on how the pitcher could field his position and how he executes backups and everything else.
He puts
so much emphasis. He's like, I would never sign that guy because he doesn't field his position. He doesn't back up. He will get abused by bunting and all. I was just like, I thought it was all about pitching.
It's one of my favorite aspects of pitching is the athlete on the mound.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because as you were rattling off the sports you're involved with, I've done some work on talking to people about multi-sport athletes, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of specialization. I'm sure you see a lot of kids that have been in travel ball since 9 or 10, and they're talking now about the health effects of that. Now, what do you think about it? Kids who play multiple sports?
You definitely have to be a multi-sport athlete. And as a scout, I get asked that by parents all the time. What should we do? And my response to them is, if your kid is ever a good enough athlete to move on to the next level, it doesn't matter how much they specialize. They're a good enough athlete to go. They will. And then also, kids burning out emotionally, mentally, constantly playing 120 games a year is just not healthy. I think big leaguers will tell you that they played multiple sports. I think it develops other muscle groups, which is really important as well growing up. So,
I think there's an integrative, is that a word, aspect to it all too. Like a kid who sees a soccer ball move in a certain way and can see himself in the right position.
A lot of overlap.
A hockey player the same way, basketball.
Reaction stuff.
Footwork. You know, there's so many. Yeah. But the kid who sees the play ahead of time, that's the one.
You know, so, like football, right? Physical sport. It's good to experience a physical sport and get beat up a little and have some bumps and bruises. And you become a little more mentally tough in sports like that. Or swimmers. I think swimming is one of the most grueling sports. Wrestling. If you can become mentally tough in those sports, you're going to be a lot better at running this
baseball. As a scout, one thing that struck me when I finally had, when baseball became too humbling for me, was that... the hockey players and football players were just better hitters. There was like a certain aggressiveness that
they had.
Well,
it could be at a young
level. Did you notice that as a scout?
Hockey players, their legs are so developed.
Okay.
And truthfully, players in baseball with big butts usually throw hard because they have big, strong gluteus muscles and whatnot. So hockey's an advantage in that light. If you're not a big squatter as a baseball player, if you go out and skate, you're going to build some huge muscles for legs, and that helps you out on the baseball field at a young age.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Talk
to some
people. If you want to interview players or coaches or whatever, let us know. We'll get you.
Okay, great.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks for your time.
Cool, and we'll check out your website.